That's one of my favorite songs because Christmas, or Jesus, makes Christmas a holy day. That's why we've come to celebrate, isn't it? You didn't come just to see me, did you? Okay, half of you did. That's good. That's good. That makes me feel good. But we are here to celebrate Jesus' birth. We're not here just to celebrate with traditions. We're here to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who came, born what we celebrate at Christmas, but he was born so that he would die so that we could have life. Now, the subtitle of our cantata today says, "We remember, rejoice, and worship." You probably didn't know that, but I took that for my 3 points for a message today. Isn't that convenient? We remember. The reason that we can remember is because God told us ahead of time that Jesus is coming. Now, sometimes those prophecies are a little bit ambiguous. Sometimes you really have to look. But when it comes true, when the prophecies are fulfilled, it is very evident and it is very plain. Let me prove it to you. We read in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. It says, Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you also try the patience of my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Who's he talking about? When Isaiah wrote this, before they were exiled into Babylon, they had no clue what this was pointing to. They had no roadmap that told them that it was on such and such a day and such a year, and under these circumstances, your Savior would be born. They did not know that. But we read in Matthew chapter 1, the fulfillment of this and the explanation of this for us. In Matthew chapter 1, we read about Joseph being made aware. Now, Joseph was engaged to be married to Mary. And Joseph discovers that his to-be bride is pregnant with child. And he was really excited about that, right? This was out of the ordinary. This is an extraordinary situation, and one that Joseph wanted to divorce her. He wanted to put her away. He wanted to not shame her, but rather he wanted to show respect for himself and for her because Joseph is a righteous man. And so we read in Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 20, it says, "But after he, Joseph, had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet, 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." Now, when Isaiah wrote that 850 years prior, it wasn't just the day before, right? 800 years prior, when he wrote that, they may have been comforted with the thought of Emmanuel, God with us, that sounds good, born into, you know, in the line of David, yeah, we have a Messiah coming. But they did not know when. They did not know those specific circumstances. But when it happened, Joseph was reminded of this. And it is very evident the fulfillment of God's prophecy. You see, God never tells us something that's not going to come true. God always shows us the right way. God always speaks the truth to us. And so we can rest assured when he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. It doesn't matter how ludicrous it may sound. The problem with our reading of prophecy is that we don't always understand. Many times, we interpret the prophecies the way that we want them to be. The virgin will be with child. Well, that's an extraordinary circumstance. It's an extraordinary birth, isn't it? There was another prophecy that Isaiah mentioned. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is very interesting because the nation of Israel knew this prophecy, and they pointed to this prophecy, and they interpreted this prophecy that the Messiah was going to come, and he was going to be a mighty ruler among them, and he was going to save them from their circumstances. And so when the Roman occupation was putting pressure upon them, they saw that the Messiah was going to come, and he's going to be this mighty warrior who's going to come and overthrow the Roman government, and he is going to usher in peace, and Israel would be the greatest nation on the face of the earth forever and ever. Amen. So when Jesus is born in Bethlehem in obscurity, that can't be the Messiah. Because he's not a mighty ruler. He's not a mighty warrior. And when Jesus was walking and ministering, he cannot be the Messiah in the people's minds because he is not overthrowing the Roman government. Overthrow the government, do it the way that we have interpreted it, and we will believe you. But he didn't do it their way. God rarely does things our way. We need to understand that. We are not God, he is. We are not the center of the universe. Do you realize the sun does not revolve around the earth? Some of you don't realize that, do you? Do you realize that the world does not revolve around your schedule or your stuff? The next time you get a red light, you will realize that. I'm going down the street and the light's going to be green because I'm in a hurry, and the light turns red and you get upset. Why? Because the world doesn't revolve around you. We need to reflect and see what God has said. That's why we need to read and study the Bible. And when we read and study the Bible, when we read and study His Word, and we see these things jump off the pages, we see the fulfillment of everything that He has told us. That allows us then to celebrate. Now, Mary was told that she was going to be with child. In Luke chapter 1, this is just incredible. The angel Gabriel appears to Mary, and he shares with her that she is the appointed one, or she is the blessed one, and she will be with child. Let me read that for you, starting at verse 30. As the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Do you hear some familiar phrases from that, from the prophecy I've read to you from Isaiah chapter 9? He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. He will reign over on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom will never end. Now, this should have been wonderful news to Mary. She's going to give birth to a baby boy, and she's blessed by God. There's a problem, though. Mary's not married. Mary is a virgin. And this goes against everything that she has been brought up to be as right. A child born out of wedlock was not looked upon favor then, nor now. But God intervened in an extraordinary way to show an extraordinary birth, to show something special was going to take place. And as people began to remember the prophecies, they would remember these things. They would see it unfold. Today, we celebrate this season. And we celebrate this season with many traditions. Much of what we do around Christmas revolves around traditions that have been developed in our families, in our churches, in our culture. Many of you went out and bought a Christmas tree or put up your Christmas tree and decorated it because that's what you always do at Christmas. Many of us put lights on our houses or we hang stockings because that's what you do at Christmas. Try doing that for the 4th of July. We do it because it's a tradition that we've developed. And there's nothing wrong with the traditions. The problem rests in, why are we doing this? What is the tradition about? I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to create traditions that are based upon the celebration of Jesus, not just based upon what everybody else is doing. These traditions, this celebration causes us to rejoice. Now, we've sung about that. This is a wonderful cantata because it is talking about celebrating, rejoicing, being joyful. And we experience that during this time of year. But seeing the fulfillment of God's prophecies, seeing God's word come to life, allows us to rejoice. Mary was told that she was going to be pregnant, and you would think that that would just be a cause to just rejoice, right? But remember, she was not married, and this was somewhat of a burden upon her. But when Mary was pregnant, she goes and visits her relative Elizabeth, who is also pregnant. Her child to be born is going to be John the Baptist, if you did not know that already. Go back to Luke chapter 1 and you can read about this. But in Luke chapter 1, it tells us that Mary visits her relative Elizabeth. And listen what happens. Verse 44, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, and this was Elizabeth talking, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. She receives Mary and she says, you are a blessed woman because of what God has said he was going to do through you. The child in my womb was rejoicing. It was leaping for joy. I don't understand this, but all I can tell you is what I felt and what I sense. And I sense that God is in this situation. And this is what is going to take place. What God has told you is going to take place. This, then, is Mary's response. And Mary said, oh, woe is me. I am pregnant with child, and I shall give birth out of wedlock, and the people will stone me. Anybody know the Christmas story? That's not it. That's not it. Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name." Even though she is in a predicament in which she could be stoned, that her husband, or her husband-to-be, wants to put her away, Mary says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and I rejoice in what He has told me." If Mary can rejoice, we can rejoice. The angels rejoice when they announce the birth. Remember the angels, they go to the shepherds. Luke chapter 2. They show up to the shepherds out on the fields. Verse 13, it says, "And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests.'" The angels of heaven were so excited about the birth of Jesus, they come rejoicing. Trivia. We always talk about the angels singing, but the scripture never says that they sung. But they did rejoice. Many times we do sing when we're rejoicing because of the joy that is in our heart. But they came and they glorified God. The shepherds then responded. In verse 15 it says, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." They didn't just leave their sheep in the field to go and just check it out. They came with rejoicing. They came, and I think they came worshiping. Scripture doesn't tell us that. But I think they came because they realized that the angel of God spoke to them and that the child that was spoken about is the Messiah. And they came and they worshiped. They rejoiced. They were filled with joy about all of this. And they went about telling others. When something joyful happens, you want others to share in that joy. You want others to be expressive along with you. When a child is born into a family, you don't hide it. You don't say, "Oh no." You put an announcement in the paper and you want to just shout it from the rooftops. A baby has been born. This is exciting news. You can hardly wait to get to church and announce to everybody how, you know, what the weight is, what the length is, what the color of hair is, who they look like. And they don't look like anybody, right? You want to share this because we rejoice. And the shepherds rejoice that day. We celebrate Jesus' birthday. We celebrate as we rejoice. Not because it's just the season. We rejoice because of who He is. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was born to save us from our sin. That causes some rejoicing. It should also cause us to worship. We know from Matthew's account of Jesus' birth that there were wise men that came from far away. The Magi. The wise men came and says, verse 9, "After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And then, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." They came from far away. They traveled hundreds, perhaps thousands of miles on foot to see the one that was born, the King of the Jews. The verses just prior to what I read says that they showed up in Jerusalem. They showed up at the palace of the king, thinking that it was a child in the palace that had been born. And Herod was there, kind of gruff. And they discovered, well, Herod hasn't had a baby. Herod was very interested to find out what child was being called the king of the Jews, because he wanted to be known as the king of the Jews. And after calling in those that knew the Old Testament law, where is the Messiah to be born? Well, they knew right away, in Bethlehem in Judea. Well, that's just a few miles down the road. So they gave them the directions, and the star shone the way. They were rejoicing, not only that they had the right directions, but they also rejoiced in the star that was showing them the way. And they came and they saw the baby just as they had anticipated, and they worshiped him. Now, some of you have come a long way to come and worship today. I know of a lady from Georgia came up to enjoy our nice weather to worship with us today. Some of you may have come from even further. But you come to worship. We come to worship Jesus because He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And as you celebrate His birthday this year, do not forget Jesus. It's His birthday. We're not to celebrate football or basketball, or presents. We can celebrate with these things. Do not miss celebrating Jesus. He is the reason why we have come, and He is the one whom we worship. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that You have given to us a reason to worship and a reason to sing. You've given to us the opportunity of celebrating the one who lived and died so that we could die and live. Lord, we are so grateful for the opportunity to be able to rejoice during a time such as this. And we rejoice in song. Lord, help us to honor You as we celebrate Jesus' birthday this year. Help us to remember, to rejoice, and to worship. Father, what a wonderful time it is, in which it seems like the whole world slows down a little bit. And the character of gentleness and peace and love comes pouring out of people. We are grateful that we are able to do likewise. Lord, help others to know that we do this because of the one that we worship. His name is Jesus. Help us as we celebrate throughout the next week and the next 2 weeks, through our family gatherings, the office parties. Help us to celebrate Jesus. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen.